I'm not saying all new songs are bad. Not all new songs are bad. I'm just saying the contemporary songs are. Contemporary means like something else, and it's like the world. First Peter chapter 5, something real simple, and because I'm pretty simple myself, I want to thank the Lord first for what he did this morning. What a blessing, what a blessing. And you don't see what I see, and I see faces, I look at people's faces, and I saw some faces that were completely astounded. They had never heard the simple gospel. They'd never heard that, you know. And I like that when that happens. And people say, well, nobody walked the aisle. Yeah, but God walked the heart. There were some things in the heart done today. And we've yet to see the seeds that were planted and the ones that were watered. And God will give the increase. Don't worry about that. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 8 says, be sober. Be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. I'll preach a real simple thing tonight. If I were the devil. You know, I've never been in the military. I watch war movies. I've never been a cowboy, but I watch cowboy movies today. Today I took a nap watching the Apple Dumpling Gang Returns. And best nap I've had in a long time. And had a good time doing it. But you know, they tell me, that if you have an enemy that you gotta fight, you need to study your enemy. You need to know what they're made out of. You need to know how they think, what they're going to do. And they tell me the same thing in sports. You know, you need to know the other team. And they watch videos of them over and over and over, how they would do things. So the Bible tells us a lot about Satan, tells us a lot about him. I think the problem with most people is not that they don't recognize Satan, but they don't know the word that would help them recognize Satan. Right. They know he's in the world. They know he's attacking. They know that he came to kill and to destroy, but they don't know how to recognize that because they don't know enough of the word. That's why it's important to study the word, study the word, study the word, read. And that's how you know something, is by reading it over and over and over and over. When I was a kid in school, I found out that if I wrote something down 7 times, I knew it. Now, I know I'm kind of dumb. It takes me 7 or 8 times, but I catch on. But see, a lot of people, they never write it down the first time. People come up to me and they say, I want you to go see so-and-so. I say, write it down. Well, I need you to go over here at the hospital. I said, write it down, because I'm not going to remember it if you don't write it down. And it's the same way with the work of God. It is written, and if we don't read it, we're not going to remember that. So you think about, well, what would I do if I was Satan? Now, he's been around over 6,000 years. He's been busy that whole time. And his whole time, he's been doing exactly what he was going to do in the garden. He's going to do it with us. I'd prevent the salvation of people. That would be my number one job, to prevent the salvation of people. Because see, God gets glory from people being saved. God loved you and he saved you, but he saved you for his glory, not your glory.
That's right.
And no matter what you came from or didn't come from, God gets glory out of you being saved. So Satan doesn't want God to get the glory. And then once you get saved, then God gets glory out of the way you live and you walk and you talk and your lifestyle. Well, Satan doesn't want you to live to glorify God, because he doesn't want God to get the glory. And so therefore, I would not only hinder people from being saved, I'd hinder people from being sanctified, laying themselves apart and living for God. And if I were Satan, I would deceive people about who I am. And he said that in Ephesians 6:8, that we have to watch out for the wiles of the devil. And Genesis 3 said he's subtle. He doesn't wear a red suit and carry a pitchfork.
Yes,
though some people think he does. But he's very subtle. That means he's not loud about it. He's not brash about it. He's not forward about it, but just little by little, word by word. Never a crossword, always a compromising word. Just a little bit here, just a little bit there, till he talked them out of the garden. Amen?
Right.
And same way, when people's getting saved, the devil never will come to somebody and say, you ought not get saved, you don't need to be saved. No, sir. He'll say, yeah, you do need to do that. That's what God said. You need to get saved, but not today.
Right.
You got some living to do. You got some living to do. Man, you're too young. You're too young now. Where do you get old and you can't drink no more? Where do you get old and you can't sniff that stuff anymore or smoke that stuff? Where do you get old and you got all those wrinkles? You can't run around with all these different crowds anymore. You're going to get saved, but just let's just wait a while. Then after you get saved, he won't come to you and say, you don't need to live for God. You just need to go ahead and live like you always did. No, he won't. He'll say, yeah, you need to live for God. Now he's saved. You need to live for it. But let's don't be fanatical about this thing. You don't want to go too far. You'll run your family off. You don't want to get too extreme. Your boss man won't like you. Y'all still with me? He'll never come out and say, don't live for God. He'll just say, don't do it so much. He'll never come out and say, look, church is not good. Church is bad. You don't need to go to church. He'll say, yeah, you need to go to church. God said you need to go to church, but you don't need to go to that kind of church.
Amen.
Or you don't need to go to church so much. Now, don't go overboard with this church stuff. People start calling you a fanatic. They won't want to have anything to do with you. So let's just tone it down a little bit. Y'all still with me? That's exactly what I would do. And 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14, if you want to turn there, I'm going to go ahead and read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 14 says this. He says, and no marvel, for Satan himself had is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it's no great thing if his ministers be transformed as the ministers of righteousness. Hey, that tells you right there, the devil's got some preachers too. The devil's got some servants too. And he said, look here, it's not a big deal because Satan himself can look like an angel of light. Why do you think all these people that say they're of God are of God? Now, so if I were Satan, I would tell him that everybody's a hypocrite. I would. I'd say they're all hypocrites. I used to say that. Church is full of hypocrites. Now people say that to me. I say, I know it. Why don't you come be another? I said, well, all hypocrites sometimes was about something. Amen.
Yeah.
Amen. Amen. I don't like Fords, but if you give me a new one, I'll drive it.
Yeah.
Amen. That ain't my dream car, but if it's free, amen, I'll take it. Church is full of hypocrites. Amen. Amen. I'm a hypocrite sometimes. But look, it shouldn't be that amazing that Satan can make things attractive that are wrong and make things that are right unattractive. Sin is attractive. It is. There's three things that motivate our flesh. The lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. And by the way, you'll break all three of those before this week's out. You will? Amen. Pride's the worst one because it'll make you lie about the other two. Amen. Amen. That's right. That's right. But you see, what we'll to do, we'll to think, what is the devil trying to do to me? He's trying to make something attractive, and he's trying to convince me. If I was the devil, I'd say, look here, ain't nothing wrong with that. A little bit ain't going to hurt you. A little bit ain't going to hurt you. You know, the Bible says, you know, a little for your infirmity's sake. Amen. A little bit ain't going to hurt you. A little bit of lying ain't going to hurt you. Just white lie. I've never seen that in the Bible, white line, black line. Have you ever seen that? Matter of fact, that offends me as a white person. Everybody else is offended. Why can't I be? But Bob Satan, I wouldn't tell you you couldn't do something. I just say don't do too much of it because, you know, even Jesus drank wine. Even David had over 100 wives and 300 concubines. It goes to show you can be close to God and still be an idiot. Amen. Amen. Listen. If that's what I'd do if I was the devil, I'd make sin attractive while making it look pretty right. Our church has been invaded by that. Most churches in America have been invaded by people that are impersonating ministers of light, but they lead people into just a little darkness.
Right.
Just a little here, a little, just one little song or one little tune or one little testimony or one little sermon. And look, if you were the devil, you'd want sin to be attractive. The devil never shows you anybody hugging a commode, throwing up.
That's right.
Yeah. Amen. Amen. We used to call it kissing the commode. The devil won't show you that. You see those commercials, nobody's falling down and throwing up. Nobody's lost their wife over it. Nobody's lost their husband over it. Y'all still here?
Yeah.
Amen. When the devil shows you these TV programs with all these fornicators and adulterers and homosexuals and bisexuals and trisexual and pansexual and I don't even, can't even name them all anymore. And when the devil shows you that, you know what he shows you? People smiling and laughing and Cheryl said in her Sunday school class sometimes that subject could come up and the teenage girls would say, yeah, but these people love one another. Well, that's only because that's what the devil dresses it up to be is love. It's not love. It's lust. Did you know there's more suicides among homosexual people than there is any other group in America? Because see, if you confuse lust for love, you're going to get disappointed. And if you do that enough times, you're going to get so discouraged, you just soon kill yourself because you can't find anybody that really loves you. And if you don't know Christ, you don't know what love is.
That's right.
So you can't recognize love.
That's right.
Because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts as believers, and God is love. So without God, you have no love, and you'll mistake lust or like for love.
Right.
But that's what I'd do if I was a devil. And I'm going to tell you this, and it's child abuse. It's child abuse. And the devil's doing it. These little kids, 8 and 10 years old, especially little boys, little boys and little girls, they'll walk in one day and they'll say, Mom, I feel like a girl. And some lost, blind, ignorant woman starts dressing that little boy up like a little girl. Now listen to me. And now they're taking them to counseling so they can get them ready for surgery. That's child abuse. They'll lock that mama up. They'll lock that daddy up. They'll lock the doctor that did it up.
That's right.
And the same way with little girls, they start giving her those hormone injections and listen, I've known some. And 2 or 3 years later, she'll look like a big old fat man with a big old fat beard stumbling around out there. And it's a woman, and somebody has misled that woman to think that she was a man and she was a woman. And she's not going to be happy that way, never. And she'll never find somebody to love her that way.
Yes.
But that's what I'd do if I was the devil. I'd make sin attractive. And boy, don't we live in that age today. And then, if I were the devil, you know what I'd try to do? I'd try to destroy God's word, but without completely throwing the book away. And here's how you do that. You hinder it. You hinder the word of God. And of course, we know the story there in Matthew 13, how some fell by the wayside and some fell on stony ground and some fell among thorns. Well, that's the way he hinders the word of God. He won't let it fall to where it can grow into faith in Jesus Christ. I preached this morning to people who never heard the plain, unadulterated gospel of Jesus Christ. And I can tell by looking at their faces. And you say, well, it should have come forward. No, first time you hear it, you need to let it sink in and take root and come back and let us water it a little bit. That's right. Let God give the increase. I'm afraid a lot of people run around trying to claim converts that are not converted because they didn't let the Word of God do its work, and that's exactly what the devil wants. And now, if I were the devil, if I was Satan, I'd try to destroy the influence of churches. I would. I would destroy it. I'd make the church so worldly that worldly people wouldn't think that that was any different than anywhere else. You remember, most of you's older, you remember growing up when the house of God was a holy place?
Yes.
You remember growing up when the house of God was a fearful place?
Yes.
Amen. Amen. God was a fearful God. And by the way, you can't get saved. You're not going to love God till you fear God first.
Yes, sir.
Because the only way you're going to love Him, you're going to have to know how fearsome He is and how He will throw you into a lake of fire. And then you'll turn to Him and see the love of God that He let Christ die for your sins so you can be saved from all of that.
Amen.
But if I were a devil, excuse me, I'd make the preacher cough. If I were the devil, I would try to destroy the power of the churches. Now look, not by might, not by power, but by thy spirit, saith the Lord, the Bible says. Now, most churches plan the power of God right out of the meeting. They plan it right out of the meeting. If you'll go to those fancy big, they call them mega churches, all this stuff. I call them hippie churches. Y'all know who I am. And all them other, but them hippie churches know who I am too, by the way. And, go over here on Friday and Saturday night. They're rehearsing. I'm not talking about choir practice. I'm talking about what color lights to turn on. I'm talking about how much smoke to let roll out across the floor. I'm talking about how high to turn up the volumes at certain times and down at other times. And I'm talking about people in the church, what they're doing. It's all rehearsed. And then that little preacherette, he gets up with a little sermonette so all of them can run outside and smoke a cigarette in the kitchenette. I'm sorry I had to make all that go together. I couldn't leave none of it out. But the point is, they don't look for the power of God. They look for the power of the music, the power of the influence of the people, the power of the influence of the person standing, and I can't say behind the pulpit, they don't even have pulpits anymore, sitting on the stool. They sit on a little stool. But look, go back and read Acts chapter 2. When the power of God fell, things happened.
That's right. Amen.
Read Acts chapter 3. When the power of God fell, things happened. Read Acts chapter 4. When the power of God fell, things happened. Read Acts chapter 5. When the power of God fell, things happened. It was not mechanical. It wasn't rehearsed. It shocked the preachers as much as it did the hearers.
Amen.
But if I was Satan, I'd get all that out of the way.
Yep.
We'd have meetings where we talked about, how can we make it smell more homey? Well, you get some homies in. The homies come on to church so it smell more homey. He's been in these meetings. He works at one of them. Don't worry, I ain't going to say your name or where. But the point being, they'll sit around and program the power of God right out of the thing.
Yep.
That's exactly what I'd do if I was the devil.
Amen. That's what he does.
And I'd say, now don't cry. Don't cry. We don't want to see any tears. Don't let Fortson get up there and tell one of them tear-jerking stories about some guy writing a hymn.
No, he does.
Don't let some sister get excited and wave her hand. Don't let another one get excited. Ah! Well, I'm going to fill this church up with Lumbee women. Lumbee Indian women. Wouldn't that be good? It wouldn't take but a few minutes. We'd get about six of them. We'd have a revival. This is what they're doing. Go down there to Max and those, they'll do that till you have to stop preaching. And I'd stop preaching and then I'd start back preaching. You say, preacher, is that right? Scares the devil right out of that place. Devil wouldn't go within a mile of those women, amen. And then you know they're godly because they sell collard green sandwiches to raise money for the building fund. Amen. If you ate collard green sandwiches, you'd be shouting too. Amen. But they don't plan that. They don't plan that. Amen. The power of God falls and do that. You say, preacher, I just don't know all, if that's all of the Lord or not. That fellow told me one time, he said, you think all that shouting at your church is of the Lord? I said, I don't know. You think all that sleeping at your church is? Amen. He was talking about me baptizing a bunch of people one time. He said, you think all them people saved? I said, I don't know if they saved or not. I know they said they were. I don't know if you're saved. Yeah. Amen? Yeah. Look, you got to depend on the power of God to do things. And if I was devil, I'd get rid of and replace it with performance and not power. Amen? Amen. Put a check right there. Amen? Yeah. And then here's something else I'd do. I'd try to give the world another gospel. I try to give the world another gospel. Galatians 1:18, though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. Now I know we live in an area where there are Mormons. I know that. I don't hate Mormons. I don't hate Jehovah's Witnesses. I don't hate Muslims or the stuff like that. I love them. I want them to get born again.
Yes. Yes.
But let me tell you something. All those are another gospel. It's not the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He said, I came unto you and I preached the gospel, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and not another Christ. Jehovah's Witnesses have another Christ. The Mormons have another Christ. Muslims even have Jesus in the book of Quran, but he's another Jesus. Now that's what I would do. I would replace the gospel being saved by grace through faith in the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ with another gospel that says you can be saved some other way.
Yeah.
You can be saved by baptism, I would say. And a lot of people believe that. Listen, the Bible says in Acts 2:38, believe and be baptized. Now you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and here's why you get baptized. By the way, this is why you can't do it as a baby, okay, or a little kid that don't understand. The death, burial, and resurrection. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Now be baptized. Baptism, you're buried in the likeness of his death, saying, I believe that he died for my sins. And you're raised in the likeness of his resurrection as a testimony that you believe in the resurrection of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But that does not save you.
That's right.
That's a testimony of what you believe. Amen?
Amen.
Now he says do that because we're supposed to be testimonies. And that's our first testimony is to be baptized. But you're not going to get saved by baptism. Now, and then there's other people that say, well, you got to believe on Christ, but you got to be baptized also. Well, the thief on the cross never got baptized. And there's people in countries all over this world that can't get baptized, or either they're under some kind of church that doesn't baptize right, and I can't say they're going to hell because their preacher led them into the wrong baptism. Help me here.
Right, yeah, come on.
But if I was the devil, I'd say, can't get saved without baptism.
Right.
Now, if I'm a Baptist preacher, I believe you ought to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and get scripturally baptized. The word means immerse, not sprinkle. You know what Jerry Clower said? Y'all remember the preacher Jerry Clower? He really wasn't a preacher. He said he had a friend that was a Methodist. And said him and his friend was always arguing over baptism. And he said one day they was fishing, and he said, "Brother Jerry, do you really think that a man has to get baptized like you Baptists do it?" He said, "Yes, sir. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Be baptized." He said, "Well, let me ask you something, Jerry." Said, "If we waded out in the water today, ankle deep, would I be baptized?" He said, "No, sir." He said, "If we waded out down to our waist, would I be baptized?" He said, "No, sir." He said, "If we waded out to my shoulders, would I be baptized?" He said, "No, sir." He said, "If I waded out over the top of my head, would I be baptized?" He said, "Yeah." He said, "See there, I told you, the only thing that counts is top of your head." But that's not true. That's not true. But I'd preach another gospel. Here's another gospel. Join the Baptist church and you'll be saved. Here's another gospel. Join the Presbyterian church and you'll be chosen, frozen. Frozen, chosen. Here's another gospel. Do the best you can. Here's another gospel. Do like Jesus did. What would Jesus do? No, sir, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. You can't work and be saved. The Bible says that you're saved by grace, undeserved love, through faith, that not of yourselves. It is a what? It's a gift of God, not of what? Works, lest any man should do what? We got nothing to brag about. We can't be good enough to be saved. Now we want to be. After you get saved, you'll want to be good and you'll do better. But you'll never reach perfection until you get to heaven.
Amen.
Now that's what I would preach. I would preach that. Wouldn't you? Don't you think there's a lot of people going to hell because of those very things?
Yeah.
And they're all good things. You ought to do good. You ought to do good works. You ought to go to church. You ought to get baptized. You ought to do things for God. You ought to love one another. You ought to do right with people. But none of those will save you. That's another gospel.
Amen.
You ever heard this? All roads lead to the same place.
Yeah. Oprah.
Oprah. I always call her Oprah. Oprah. I think her mom misspelled her name. But they say this, Islam leads to the same heaven. Mormonism leads to the same heaven. You ever see these little things on back of cars that says coexist?
Yep.
That's what that means. That everybody's going to heaven. Because see, God ain't nothing but a big old grandpa up there. And he's sitting on his throne, and then one day everything's going to be done, and everybody's going to be standing at the gate, and he's going to look out there and he's going to see everybody that's ever lived, and the good people and the bad people, and the saints and the sinners and the liars and the thieves and the whoremongers and all these things. And he's going to say, "Ah, come on in." No. No. But that's what they want us to believe, because that's the gospel that the devil preaches. Now, if I was the devil, I'd do that. Now, I'm going to say something. I don't want you to misunderstand or take it the wrong way. I'm glad sometimes I was not raised in church.
Right.
Yeah.
Now, thank God you ought to raise your kids in church. Most time I wish I was raised in church.
Yeah.
See, I got saved at 23, and I had to learn everything at 23 that you learned at 6. I missed a lot. But on the other hand, I wasn't raised in a wrong kind of church that I would have to turn away from all that stuff like some you were.
Yep, you had a clean slate.
And start all over.
Right.
And unlearn things.
Right.
Amen. We got people that grew up in the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Got people that grew up in the Mormon Church. And then when they received Christ, they had to lay every bit of those years and all that teaching, they had to lay it aside because the devil had gotten into their family and got them in the wrong gospel with the wrong Jesus, and God had to reach down and pull them out of that stuff. But that's what he does. Now, I'm very careful about this place right here. I'm very careful. I've had preachers say, well, you don't ever let nobody preach. They're right. There are very few people I'll let preach. I'm serious. And there's some good men that I don't want to preach here. I'm serious. Because, see, it doesn't take but one sermon to mess up a whole lot of people. And I'm jealous. I'm jealous of that. Now, I'm not the greatest speaker in this town. I'm not the smartest preacher. I'm not even the best preacher. But I'm going to tell you this. I'm not going to let another gospel or another Jesus slip in.
Amen.
It ain't happening. Now, if I'm Satan, I'd try to give all the excuses I could give. In Luke 14, you know the story of the three men. Satan gave him excuses. One of them, he gave him a farm. The Lord said, come follow me. That's Luke 14, 16 through 24. I'm not going to take time to read it, but I'm just going to tell you. He said, Jesus said, come follow me. And one of them said, now, wait a minute. I just bought a farm. Well, people buy farms every day. But that's his excuse. And then another one said, well, wait a minute. I just bought five yoke of oxen. That would be Holroyd, five yoke of oxen. I just bought five yoke of oxen, and I can't follow you, Lord, because they'll fall in a ditch somewhere, and they'll all die and starve to death and die of thirst. I can't follow you, Lord. My oxen is taking up my devotion. Amen. And then the last one, he said, Lord, I would be glad. Now, I'm kind of, you know, South Carolina doing this. Okay. Lord, I'd be glad to follow you except one thing. I just got married. I just took me a wife. Now, you know what? If he was a real believer, he'd want to take his wife with him.
Amen. Come on.
If the other one was a real believer, he'd have given his oxen to the Lord.
Amen.
If the first one was a real believer, he'd have said, look, everything I got, you gave it to me, Lord. It belongs to you anyway. Where are you going? I'm right with you.
Wow.
See, if I was the devil, I'd give you all kinds of things. Well, you can't go to church. You got to work. You know, you got to pay those bills.
Right. Sunday's your only
day off. Go ahead, devil. Sunday's your only day off. Stay out of my preach. Sunday's your only day off. You can't go to church. Somebody else say, now wait a minute. The old devil will tell somebody else, you can't get saved because the business you in, you'd have to give up your business. We got one of them in here. And the old devil would tell somebody else, you can't get saved and follow Jesus. Your wife is not going to do that.
Right.
And that's the truth in some cases. But you got to decide where you want to go to in eternity and who you want to go with. You want to go to hell with that woman? Or you want to go to heaven with the Lord?
Right.
And if we have more young people, you better be careful about who you marry.
Right.
Better be careful. But see, Satan works in all these different ways. He'll never come to you and say, don't get saved, don't get saved, don't get saved, don't get saved. He'll say, yeah, you can get saved, but first you got to take care of these.
Right.
He'll never come and say, don't you go to church, don't you go to church. He'll say, yeah, you need to go to church, that's a good thing to do, but first you need to do this over here. He'll never say, you don't you marry, don't you get married. He'll say, no, you need to get married. That's a good thing. You ought to get married. Man can't live without a woman. He ain't got enough sense. Isn't that right? I got you back, sis. Amen. He'll say, yeah, you need to get married. But if you go down there to that church and start dedicating your life to the Lord, she might not like it. And by the way, if you married that kind of woman, you married the wrong kind to start with.
Come on.
Or man. This week, Satan's going to come He's going to come to me and he's going to come to you and he's going to say all kind of things. Preacher, what I do? What I do, preacher? Help me, preacher. Help me. All right. You're still in 1 Peter chapter 5? All right. Look at verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. The devil ain't no match for the Lord.
That's right.
He ain't. Now, every one of us, we're going to go through this week. We're going to stumble. We're going to wander. We're going to do all these. I like that song, you know. Prone to wander. We're prone to wander. I pray sometimes down here on the altar. I say, Lord, forgive me, and I'll be confessing my sins, and that'll come to my mind. And I think, Lord, you know I'm prone to wander. Help me, Lord. Put up some fences. Put up some gates. Put up some walls where I can't get over them, all this stuff, you know. And then Satan's going to come to me and you, just like he does to lost people. And he'll say, now, you don't want to get too carried away with this stuff. You done lost too many friends over it now. But you know what we'll do? We'll get off somewhere and say, Lord, I can't do it. I can't do it without you, Lord. I can't do it. The devil makes this thing look so good. And Lord, if you don't help me, I'm going to fall right here. This is where I'm going to fall right here. Lord, you got to help me. Rescue me, Lord. And then when the devil comes around, you'll recognize his lies.
Yep.
But now if you're looking for a reason to compromise, he's got a long list of them.
Yes.
If you're looking for a reason to quit, he'll make it look real good to quit. He'll make it look real good to get out of church, to get out of the will of God, to leave your family, to leave everything. He will. He can do that. He's very subtle. And listen to this. He's only, there's no number on his age. He was here when the world was created. So he's only seen over 6,000 years of humanity. And he's seen enough to study us and remember us. And did you know there's been thousands of people just like you, born and lived and died on this old planet, and he's seen them, and he knows exactly what it'd take to stop you because you're just like others were. We're not unique. And he's seen it all. So don't think you can outsmart the devil. You can't do it. You better start leaning on the everlasting arms. Our churches need to lean on the everlasting arms. Our preachers need to lean on the everlasting arms. And we better look for the power of God through Christ Jesus. We don't have the power to resist him. Sometimes y'all get mad at me around here because I make some little rule or something. People get mad at me. And what I'm doing, I'm just trying to keep a wall between us and the devil and between you and the devil. I'm not here to run your life. That's your business. Amen.
Yes.
People say, hey, sometimes people say, you ever been over to so-and-so's house, talk to them? I said, they've never invited me. Well, they doing this, they doing that. I said, ain't none of my business. I said, it's my business to give them the word of God. It's my business to try to help them the best I can. It ain't my business to butt in their business. But if they won't help, I can help them. Because I know the one that wrote the book. Amen?
Yeah, come on now. Yeah.
So, I'm going to tell you, this week, after 98 showed up today, the old devil didn't like that. And after some heard the gospel that had never heard it, the devil doesn't like that. And after some made some commitments, standing right there in the pew, they made some commitments. The devil ain't going to like that. And he's going to get that proverbial apple on the end of that stick in front of that mule, and he's going to try to lead them around. And we need to pray you, therefore, one for another, that we resist the devil and draw nigh to God. Let's stand. Father.